we're going to do a team teaching here for a minute. Wow, nice little group tonight. Glad everybody's here. Joy for me to be here. I would like, Paul already mentioned, September 1968, my wife and I were baptized right here. I don't think the baptistry worked properly since then, but anyway, I preached my first sermon right down there. But we had chairs then, but right there, first sermon, 2 months later on November. And they didn't care much for quality of preaching back then, I guess. But started me off, and here I am 40-some years later, about 47 years I've been preaching the gospel. Very happy to do so. Great joy just happened to me. My son, who's about 36 years old, was just restored. He's up at North Seattle working and doing a great job, and I'm just so proud of him. And I have a son that's a grandson that's in the military over in Afghanistan, and a great grandson. Got another one on the way for my youngest daughter. My baby's having a baby, and in August, and so she's 30. Quit her job, going to be a stay-at-home mom. She was making good money too. So, but she understands the priority and the necessity there of taking care of a child. So I'm thankful to be here. I wanted to come by and just see everybody and touch base again because it's been quite a while. And here's where I started. We were brought over here, and I say that I was baptized on the 18th. That might have been the 19th because we were baptized right around midnight, and it was cold, I'll tell you. It was so cold in that baptistry. And I guess that gave us a good start, so here we are. All right, what I want to talk to you about tonight is I want to talk to you about why Jesus came into the world. Why do you think Jesus came into the world? There's a lot of different reasons. He came to seek and save the lost, right? He came to set the captive free, right? There's a lot of reasons, but I think one of the most important ones, and he stated it, he came into the world and he was born for a certain reason. And it's a big question. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why was he born? For what reason? And so on. Well, he told somebody why he came. He says, I've been born for this, and for this I've come into the world to do what? You remember that passage?
Seek and save the lost.
Seek and save the lost. That's a good one, but that's not the one. That's a good one. That's one of my favorites. What's another one? Anybody else? Well, he told Pilate, he says, I came to testify to the truth. I came to testify to the truth. Now, if I said I was going to go down and testify for Paul, what would you know? Huh? We'd be in a situation. What? We'd be in a situation where, in a trial situation, right? We'd be. If I'm going to testify for something, if somebody's on trial, and that's exactly what's going on here. Truth is on trial, and truth has always been on trial. And Jesus is going to come and say, "Look." Pilate said, are you a king? He says, yes, for this reason I came to the world, for this I have been born, to bear witness to the truth. And so truth is on trial. Not only was Jesus on trial, his truth claims and the truth claims of God were on trial. Remember that this took a long time to bring about, right? Remember in the garden, God said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the serpent. So this has been going on for years, and Jesus said, I came into the world, and I'm going to bear witness to the truth. And bearing witness means to state to be true, especially when under open questioning or open investigation. So Jesus is going to spend his life bearing witness to the truth. I want to tell you that this lesson really changed my life a lot, brethren. That truth is important. It's paramount. It's absolutely necessary for us to understand this idea of truth and what's going on. Jesus is standing on trial, isn't he? He's standing before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate. Herod, Pontius Pilate, and so on. He went before all of them. But Pontius Pilate said, when Jesus said, I'm here to bear witness to the truth, what did he say? What is truth? You think he said, what is truth? Do you think he did that? Or do you think, what is truth? Probably. Huh? Yeah, what is truth? Probably like the politicians today. We're having some investigations up in Washington. I think we had it for the last president. It may have went also for the one before that. And probably for the... Right? And they have an investigation, and sorry, I have no recall of that. I don't remember. I don't know what's going on. Isn't that amazing that these guys that run the nation, they don't know anything? But Pilate is saying, just like that, what is truth, right? What is truth? And so Jesus was on trial. His truth claims were on trial. Truth is on trial. And what we need to understand is that not only was Jesus on trial, the truth claims of God were on trial. And they're still on trial today, right? That's why we go out and preach the gospel, is because, what is truth? The contradictions in the Bible. The Bible has thousands of contradictions, right? I love it when people bring that up and I'm in their presence, because I don't let them get away with it. I say, what contradiction do you have? Tell me about your contradictions, and so on. All right. Now, what is truth? All right. I want to just tell you about Timothy. Paul told Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. What is it? Yes, I am the king, and I came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice, right? So Jesus said yes. And that's the good confession that you and I need to make. Truth is truth. And I've been examining it. Listen, I was a Catholic. I came out of the Catholic Church because I was looking for the truth. Richard Radke, I preached up there last Sunday. And Richard and I have been friends for 47 years. I don't know if you know Richard Radke. I met Paul down in Oxnard years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but you had dark hair then. I know that was. But anyway, we've been Richard and I have been really close. We've done a lot of Bible study together, and in 47 years, we have never had a fight, never had a fight, never had an argument, never yelled at each other. Now we've argued the Bible. Here's why we haven't had a problem. It wasn't because we were trying to prove who was right. We wanted to know what was right. We wanted to know what was truth. And so it doesn't matter if just today we were talking and we were really going through some heavy stuff, because now not only we've studied the Bible a couple of times since then, okay, 42 in 47 years. So we know a lot more and we go deeper into study, but we're still doing what? He says, yeah, that's a good idea. I said, yeah, that's great. And we were reading some young guy's material, and we said, man, that's pretty good. I like the way he said that. Why? Because we care about truth. That's it. We care about truth. I don't care what the truth is. I just want to know what it is, brethren. And so, make that good confession. Look at this passage here, 14 times in the book of Matthew. Truly, truly, I say, truly, truly, I say, truly, I say to you, unless you be converted, truly, I say to you, what you bind on earth, truly, I say to you, it's truly. Jesus is bearing witness to the truth throughout the Gospels, isn't he? Truth, 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 I'm telling you the truth, this is true, this is true, this is true. And then, look it over in the book of John, truly, truly, that's what we say, right? When we end a prayer, we say, amen, amen. That's what truly, truly is here. Amen, amen, truly, truly, this is what is truth. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again. Truly, truly, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. And so he just, truly, truly, Moses said to you. So the bottom line is that truth is paramount. It's very important. We need to understand that the truth claims of God are never wrong. Why do I know? I've never seen heaven. Anybody here seen heaven? I've never seen heaven. Never talked to anybody that's been there. Right? I'm reading a book that says that there's a heavenly home for me. It better be true. I'm putting a lot of stock in this thing. I'm putting a lot of my life into this thing. I know that it's true. I don't think it's true. The Lord said, I'm on trial for the truth. You examine me. You'll know what, those who are of the truth, listen to me, Jesus said. And it's beautiful to know the truth. I don't know all of it, but I know enough to know that I have a reward with my God in heaven. So the truth claims are on trial. The truth claims of God are on trial. It's a trial in this world as Jesus walks through it, as he preaches, as he tells us his story, as he relates to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are things that are said about Jesus, And he says, I am telling you the truth. You can examine me. I'll go to court. I'll go before all the majesties of the land, before the Sanhedrin, before the kings, and what I say is the truth. What did Pilate say three times after examining Jesus? I find no guilt in him, right? Now, think about this. This is kind of a side thing that I just kind of throw in, just for think so. Pilate has been dead about the same amount of time Jesus has been dead. A couple years difference. And every day he looks up, sees Jesus, and remembers that statement. What is truth? He had the authority of truth in his court. He was a big shot. What is truth, right? What is truth? And he's had to think about that for 2,000 years. And he knows that he's going to stand before Jesus the same way that Jesus stood before him. Think about that. All right? Now, this has always been going on forever. God said, if you eat of the tree, you will die. Satan came along and said, did God say you shouldn't eat any tree of the garden? And the woman said, what? Of all the trees of the garden, we except that one in the middle of the garden. And God said, the day that we eat of it, we will die. And what did the devil say? You will not die. There is no God. Abortion is okay. We've heard those lies down through the ages, my friends. They're lies. And so we have God's truth claim and we have Satan coming in trying to give us his truth claims. And they're good. Because as soon as you take your eyes off the Word of God and you look and say, oh wow, that's desirable to eat. That, look at how beautiful that is. Ah, it's desirable to make one wise. My daughter had a very prestigious job. She ran about 9 or 10 or so many car dealerships up there. She was the marketing manager for that. She'd fly down to Florida on a private jet and so on. And put me in a couple commercials. They stopped selling cars. Put me in a couple of, because she was doing commercials. But the whole idea is that one of the car dealers was a Bentley. Have you ever seen a Bentley? People say, you know what? That Chrysler 300 looks just like a Bentley. No, it doesn't. If you think it looks like a Bentley, you haven't looked real close at a Bentley, okay? I mean, that Bentley will reach out and grab you and say, oh. And it'll set you in that seat and snuggle you and say, isn't this great? I mean, it's awesome. I went and I walked around the thing and they had this guy there. I think his name was Tex, and he was you know, really cool and dignified and had a, you know, tuxedo on. And so I said, can I look at the car? Yeah. So I shut the door and then I pushed it shut. He says, you don't have to push it shut. They shut by themselves. I mean, that's temptation. I don't care. If you like cars, that's temptation. All right? And isn't that what happens all along? I'm desirable to make one wise. Do you want to be considered stupid or smart? Do you want to be somebody that people look up to, or do you want to be some dummy? Of course, all these things are temptations. So the devil, that's what he uses. He doesn't come up and there's an old rotten apple up there or a old rotten banana that flies are flying around. He says, how would you like to eat that? No, I think I can resist that. So the devil's always in there, and he's always giving his little... The battle's real. God's claims versus Satan's claims. And friends, it is real. And it happens every day, and we get suckered into it because we're a product of our environment and a product of our society. The Bible's truth claims, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Paul, you do some people's taxes, don't you? Is there any time that somebody tries to sneak something through that's not exactly right? Huh? I mean, even preachers maybe, huh? I got audited for 3 years I got audited for 3 years because the treasurer, his wife was a CPA. And so I was getting a 1099. Well, they put my housing in on the 1099. So they were thinking I was getting the housing plus the regular salary. And they put a red flag up. And I went in, and guess what? I was scared. I was scared because, you know, they can do many sundry things to you, right? And I couldn't lie because the truth will set me free. And so I went in, and I had a friend who had been audited for many years, and he says, "Jerry, whatever you do, just remember the IRS is your enemy." I had the nicest IRS lady. She was so nice, and she says, "You deducted this in the wrong place. You should have deducted it over here." And I said, "Okay." And, you know, now I understand what happened, and if you just have a letter, we'll clear you all up for all 3 years. Really? And I went in there thinking she was, I expected to see her a swastika on her shoulder. The truth will make you free. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be afraid of truth. Be afraid of not telling the truth, because the truth will make you free. All right, more laws and more Bible truth claims. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. And God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Friends, the reason I left the Catholic Church is because I started reading the Bible. I started reading the Bible, and I said, things don't, they don't agree with what the Catholic Church says. And Jesus said he was the truth and the way. And the truth will make you free. In John chapter 14, 16 through 17, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Now I explain that this way. Why does he say he's with you but he will be in you? Well, my daughter is now 30 years old. She's gone through work and she's gone through a lot of things, college and so on. And when she was home, I was with her. And I would tell her what to do and what not to do. In fact, we would watch television. And she said, "Daddy, I want to watch this show." I said, "Okay, but you have the controls. You've picked the show. Now, when it gets to a point where you can't watch it, you turn it off." And I sat there with her to watch the show. And I said, "You think it's time we turn this off?" And she said, "Yeah, Daddy, I think so." Do you know why I wanted to do that? Do you know why I didn't turn it off? Because when I was with her, I made her turn it off. But I didn't want to, because when I'm not with her, I want to be in her. And I want her to turn that off when she objects to those things. So the Holy Spirit was working with Jesus. He was with Jesus. But he was going to be in the apostles. And they were going to be able to carry on the message of God because they had the Spirit controlling them and guiding them because he was in them. He wasn't in Peter when Peter denied him, denied the Lord, was he? All right. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. You see how important truth is? How many passages are... We're going to look at a few more passages. And we're going to see that truth is important. Truth will set you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to testify to the truth. What it can do, how it can save us, how it can control our life. The Spirit of truth is going to come and he's going to be in us. All we have to do is pick up this book. The elders are supposed to have their senses trained to discern what? Good and evil. How does that happen? That happens from reading the Bible and then the Holy Spirit dwelling in you through his word, through his dynamic control. All right? In Timothy it says, "This is the good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and what? Come to a knowledge of the truth." He wants our presidents to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants our congressmen. He wants our CIA and our IRS and everybody else that's being investigated. Why do they have those trials if nobody knows anything about what happened and what they did? I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. And then next week it says, oh, well, yeah, I did. And I signed the paper. But at the moment you were asking me, I guess I didn't know. Come on. We need to come to a knowledge of the truth. Those people are not coming. And I'm not down on the government for being human. I'm down on them for lying. Because no lie is of the truth, it's of the devil. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It used to be that I was a little bit afraid of getting into Bible studies. I went to a Catholic priest, and he was, I'd only been a Christian for 2 years. I'd been a Christian for 2 years, I'd been a Catholic for 23 years. So the priest was kind of a big shot to me. And not only was this priest a big shot, he was the president of the college out in Kirkland. And I said, I want to talk to you about the infallibility of the Pope. And he said, okay. And he came down and, oh, he looked pretty impressive. And he was stroking his beard, you know. And I said, what about the, well, Jeremy, he says, existentialism, neo-orthodoxy, and eschatology. And I said, oh, man, I've never even heard of these words. I said, this guy is really smart. And then you know what I said? I said, let me see if I got you right. You're saying, and he said, yeah, that's about what I'm saying. I said, well, this guy's nuts because I don't know what I'm saying. And I don't know what he said. And it took a lot of the pressure off of me. Besides that, I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to know the Bible. If a Catholic teaches me or a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, I don't care who it is, I'm looking for truth because the truth will set me free, and I'm looking for it because I want it and I want to know what the truth is. And God wants me to know. He desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants me to be girded and gird my loins for warfare. I was in the army. I was a crew chief. We taxied up to a place one time. I jumped out. And a soldier pulled out a gun, put a clip in it, pulled the bolt back, shoved a shell in there, and pointed it right at me. And that's scary. See, I was going to be a peacetime hero. I was going over to Vietnam. And I got sick, and I went to France instead. And I got a machine gun shoved down my face. You know what kind of a guy I would have been in Vietnam? Same kind of guy. If you look down a machine gun and you get scared. So I want truth on. I wasn't in a spot where I should be. And my life was in danger. So I got back in my airplane very nicely. Didn't argue with the guy. Didn't get smart with him. Didn't give him a stare. I got back in the airplane where I belonged. We can have our weapons of warfare. The truth is what we gird our loins with. And the truth will protect us. Well, the prophets lamented. In Isaiah 59 and verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street and righteousness, uprightness, cannot enter. Does that kind of sound like our society today? Am I the only one that thinks this is what's happening? Do you think maybe people aren't interested in truth? Do you think that, well, that's not a real life, that's just a fetus? Homosexual marriages are beautiful and wonderful, aren't they? And where's the society going to? It's ungodly, isn't it? And uprightness cannot enter in this country anymore because we want to keep you out of schools. We want to keep the religion out of politics. You guys shut up because we want to preach our lies and our deceptions. And then in Jeremiah it says, you shall say to them, this nation, this godly nation, this nation that God established and put a king over it and gave it laws, you shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, Jehovah their God, or accept correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouths. Isn't that tragic? Where's Israel today? Is Israel God's nation? No. what happened to Israel. They didn't want to be corrected by truth. Do you know why our politicians are popular? Because they keep putting sandwiches in your hand. They keep giving people benefits. Look at, here's what our society is. We evolved from sea slime. Isn't that wonderful? I evolved from a monkey. Do you know that what happened years ago is there was a stagnant pool and the elements were just right and lightning struck that pool and there was some sea slime on there and it started crawling across the pond, and as it crawled across it developed scales, and then the scales fell off and became feathers, and by the time he got to shore he was a bird. Now, if you go out and say Jesus Christ died for our sins, or that you were sea slime and turned into a bird, now who do you think's the smartest guy? Huh? Now, they found that stagnant tool, and it's located back in Washington, D.C. Anyway, I'm just making fun of politics tonight. I don't care. I'm not really that sinister. But the Bible is full of errors and contradictions. Thousands of errors, thousands of contradictions. One time a guy told me, he says, I don't believe in the ark. I said, why? He says, because you couldn't get that many animals on the ark. And I said, well, how big was the ark? And he says, I don't know. And I said, well, how many animals had to be on the ark? He said, I don't know. I said, so you don't believe in the ark based upon at least two things you don't understand or know. If you knew how big the ark was and how many animals it had to be on there, do you think you might change your mind? He said, you know, I might. Hitler, God bless Hitler, sweet people, right? And then this is a welcoming home party down there in the corner. See, people are mean and ugly when they follow lies. They're mean and ugly. And if you had a God that says, I'm going to give you 73 virgins, if you go into a restaurant and kill men, women, children, blow them all up, I'll give you... What kind of a God is that? Do you have to be very smart to know that that's really not a very intelligent God to worship? I don't understand it. Well, how does the world react to truth? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and turn aside unto myths. You think we're getting close to that right now? You think we're getting pretty close to that? Yes. It's happening. Go to school and you learn about evolution. They'll teach you about birth control. They'll teach you all these things that are not fitting or truthful or anything, right? Why? Because they have itching ears. It's going bad, my friends. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. I've used different translations to get these ideas in a little different context that you may not have heard before to kind of jog our memories. Even from among your own selves, Paul told the elders, men will arise teaching perversions of the truth to draw away the disciples away after themselves. I see a lot of new preachers coming up, a lot of young preachers, and they don't know how to establish Bible authority. They say, well, you know, this preacher believes this and this preacher believes that, and so how could our Bible authority, how could our hermeneutics be right? And time after time I stand up and say, there's nothing wrong with my hermeneutics, why don't you check me out? There's nothing wrong with wanting book, chapter, and verse. There's nothing wrong with wanting the truth. There's nothing wrong with examining the truth. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have the truth. People say, well, it's just a checklist. You're just worshiping on a checklist. Yeah, well, that's part of it. I'm worshiping God because I love Him and want to serve Him. And He says, why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I ask? That's the truth, right? Isn't that the truth? Yeah, it is. Romans said, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Romans chapter 1 verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Isn't that a shame? Friends, that's what's happening in religion today. We're being bombarded. I just, you know, Brother Ed Harrell, don't you? He's a scholar, right? He's recognized as a scholar. He's a member of the church. His scholarship is in history, which I think includes the Bible, right? Isn't that history? Yeah. But he goes up to David Lipscomb, and they say, "Oh, Brother Harrell, we have to find out who we are, and we have to examine, and we don't know exactly our station." And he says, "Well, I know who I am, and I know what I believe." He said, "He that believeth and is baptized should be saved." He preached a whole lesson for us, a whole meeting for us, and it was just simple things on simple passages. He says, you don't have to be a scholar to know that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You don't have to be a scholar to know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I've never been confused about who I was." Here's a whole college full of professors and scholars, and they don't know who they are. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Isn't that amazing? Well, it might be something, their perspective of truth. But they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Truth versus lies, brethren. Truth versus lies. The real trial is going on every day with you and me. We have to be careful. Everyone that is on the side of truth, Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 7, listens to me. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, we belong to God, John says, and those who know God listen to us. But those who do not belong to God do not listen to us. That is how we can tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of lies. Spirit of truth, spirit of lies, falsehood, deception. It's all over. Thessalonians, that is the one whose coming is in accordance with all the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false or counterfeit wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive what? A love of the truth so as to be saved. Love truth. Want truth. Don't want anything short of that. Don't want anything that has a little counterfeit in it. You know, if you've got a nice big German chocolate cake and you're taking it out to the picnic table and a bird comes over and just drops a little bit on one side, what do you do? Do you eat the rest of the cake? Huh? No. I'm going to throw the whole thing away. Yeah. Somebody wants to give me half truth, part of the truth. What? I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to swallow it. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for a salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Are we beginning to get an idea of what truth really is and how important it is? That's what this whole lesson's about. Here's what men do for the truth. They turn away from the truth in Timothy. In Romans, they suppress the truth. And their perversions of the truth draw people away after themselves. All right? They do not obey the truth. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. Now, I want to go into this because this is good. This is an illustration from the Old Testament. I'm almost done. So if anybody's getting tired, the old guy, you know, I've preached for a while now. My first lesson was only about 4 minutes. Wasn't that good, but it was only 4 minutes. That's not bad. But this is a little bit longer. I want you to look at this because this will tie everything together. This will tie everything together. Friends, we need to be careful about our little blocks of wood. Whatever we put up. I tell you what, I just love a Bentley. It's almost as good as a Bugatti. But anyway, they make this into a piece of wood. They make this piece of wood into God. He cuts down a cedar, or he chooses a cypress or an oak, and he lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for the man. He takes a part of it and he warms himself and he kindles a fire and he bakes bread. He also makes a god and he worships it. He made it into an idol and he falls down before it. Oh, dear pencil, I love you. Please protect me. It's pretty stupid, isn't it? But that's what God is saying. He builds a fire and he says, oh man, it was cold. We'd get his family warm. And then he says, honey, would you cook a steak? And she cooks a steak and then he takes the rest of it and he cuts it and makes it into an idol and says, Satan. That's pretty stupid. Okay? Half of it he burns in the fire. God's going to go on with this illustration. He says, maybe you're just not getting this. So I'm just going to give you a little bit more to think about. He burns it in the fire. Over half of it he eats meat. He roasts it and he's satisfied. And he warms himself and says, ah, I'm warm. I've seen the fire. And the rest of it, he makes into a god, his idol, and he falls down to worship it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut his eyes so that he cannot see, and his heart so they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, half of it I burned in the fire. I burned half of it in the fire. I also baked bread over its coals. I roasted some meat and I ate. Shall I make the rest of it into an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. He dilutes his heart. It leads him astray. And he cannot deliver him or say. And here's the point. Is there not a lie in my right hand? Have you got a pretty good retirement? This is going to take me through my years. I'm going to make it. I bought a brand new car. You ever buy a brand new car and it breaks down on the way home? I had a friend. Poor guy. The elders finally bought him a car because he just couldn't buy a car himself. He's a good preacher, but he sure wasn't very good at anything else. He drove over to my house and he's going to preach for us. I was in Wenatchee and he was in the Tri-Cities somewhere. So he says, we'll go first, Jerry, the preachers and the men, and we'll go down there and the women can come in your car and we'll go down and buy a new car. And we went out to start it. It didn't even have a 300 miles on it. It wouldn't start. We had to have a tow truck come and get it. Boy, I finally got me a new car. Everything's okay now. How about doctor? You know, I'm a strong guy. I've been strong all my life. And bang! I had a couple heart attacks. They stopped my heart 4 times. They went into my throat and pulled out a mass as big as 3 tennis balls. They ran tubes up my leg and into my heart. And they said, lay still. And I wasn't even moving. I was just breathing. They said, lay still. And then I heard them in the back. They said, we're in there. Should we zap? Is that it? One said, yeah, that's it. Let's zap it. And I said, Lord, if they zap it, and it's wrong. I'm laying on this old cold table. And they say, don't move. And they said, they had another one run down my neck. They said, zap it. And I said, boys, if you zap it, make sure it's good. One way or the other. I don't care. I don't want to go halfway out. I want to go all the way out. I don't want to be walking around half dead, half alive. Because doctors can't save you. You know that? If you say, doctor, save my life, you weren't dead. Okay? Because there's not a doctor. He can get your heart beating again, but you weren't dead. Right? Because if you're dead, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then what? So we brought this guy back alive. He hadn't breathed for 26 days. No, he wasn't dead. Only God has the power to save your life. Oh, we got a new president. I remember saying that a long time ago. Eisenhower. I remember when Eisenhower was elected. Boy, we got Eisenhower now. He was a general. They said they had a Eisenhower wind-up dog. He wound it up and sat there for 8 years. Okay, that was the joke about Eisenhower. In other words, he didn't do anything. Every president has been what? And even if he's in your party, you kind of wish about, joining another party. Bottom line is, the president's going to save you. He's not going to do it. Truth will set you free, friends. Truth will set you free. And that's all that will set you free. So, they can't see that in their right hand there is a lie. Whatever you put your hope in, it better be God. You know why? Because God and Jesus came to bear witness to the truth claims of God. And they were true in Pilate's day. They're true in the Old Testament. They were true with Adam and Eve. And they are true today, the same truths of God. Believe it, follow it, and do it. And don't change. There's a big enemy. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2 through 4. In Christ Himself, in whom are all hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments. Persuasive arguments. And they're out there, and they're good. The devil is good. He's good at his job. You go back to the garden, and he said, did God say you shouldn't eat of any tree of the garden? And she knew it. So did Adam. He knew it. The reason he got busted first is, you know why? Because God put him in charge. He didn't protect his wife. He should have said, you're not eating that. But he said, thanks, sweetheart, for dinner. Same lies. Devil's doing the same job. And the arguments are persuasive when you say, oh, look at how pretty that is. Look at it. And it's desirable to eat. Oh, man. I went down and sat down and ate some Chinese food today, and it looked so good. I like egg foo young. But guess what's happening right now? That egg foo young is saying, shouldn't have eaten me. It looked good. And I said, boy, if I eat this and it's not just done right, it's going to come back on me and pester me the rest of the night. Well, it was desirable to eat. And it was desirable to make one wise. And they bit into it, and they swallowed the devil's truth claims. They listened to the serpent, and they died. So don't do that. There's an invitation for anybody that wants to come forward, and if you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you need any help in any way, I'm sure that the congregation here will extend to you every loving ability that they have to serve you and help you in serving your God.
7:43. Cornerstone's a little faster than the verse. Oh, land of God, rest for thee, I sigh when
home. We'll return to Jesus. Jerry, that was a fine lesson, one that we all can really put to use. Thank you very much. To keep Carol in our thoughts and prayers. How's she doing, Bill?
She seems to be doing pretty good. She just can't, she's still on her strong and cry over the pain, so she has to stay home. Yeah, kind of just take it easy. So she's recovering nicely.
Okay, good. And there is a biopsy test that she is waiting to hear back from.
Yes, they said on the biopsy just to make sure it's going on.
No.
Was a growth on her voice box.
Yeah. Okay, good. How is your health doing now, Jerry? You mentioned you had some heart attacks there.
Somebody the other day said, have you lived in Tennessee all your life? I said, not yet. I'm doing okay.
And again, we're glad to have you, Robin, with us tonight. Thank you for coming to worship with us. Let's go to God in a closing prayer. Matt, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for this day, this evening. We've heard from your word. And thank you, Father, for Brother McDonald's message to us. Pray, Father, we can live by your truth and live in your truth, Father, and rely on your words daily. Father, we know that your truth will bless us and set us free. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you've given us this day. And thank you for blessing our families. Pray, Father, that you would be with Carol. She's getting over this surgery. And pray that you would give her good news in the days to come. Father, we're thankful for those who made it out tonight. We're thankful, Father, and pray that you be with each of us as we travel home to our homes and wherever the destination we need to go to, whether it be short or long. Father, thank you for blessing our families and pray that you'd be with the parents and the children and pray that you would help them to raise their children and train them up in the truth, Father. We ask you, God, to forgive us for our sins today, Father, when we stray. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That too. Someday up there. I mean,
yeah.
How I got there one time. We visited and spent some of the part of the day. We went the wrong way when we were going to fish up there with my sisters. I went up and saw my sister that I'd never seen in my life.
Happy birthday song.
And Tom and
Jerry. Happy birthday.